Well, we've officially called this service our launch service, although last week we got back into it, and how great was last week? Yeah. The fact that the whole weekend last weekend, we had the induction on Friday night and then the service in the morning, and Andy and shared it with us last Sunday night. It was great, and we've welcomed Andy, Ida, and Christopher and Susanna into it, and it's been great, and Chris is already playing on the drums here. It's great. I'm really excited by it all, and I'm excited about this year. I really am excited about this year. We're going to be doing lots of awesome things here, and we're going to be doing some really cool, really awesome topics that's going to be available to everyone. And as I said, we're going to be doing communion and more meals here, so really opening up this evening service for everyone, and really have it as a time of celebration, but also praise towards God and being closer to God and using all that. So I'm excited about the year. And so let's just open up in a word of prayer. Hey God, we thank you for being with us and being with us even though this is our launch. It's already the middle of February. And thank you for the first half of the year, our first month or so of the year there, Lord. And Lord, we just open up our hearts tonight. Let's think about how we can get to know you better, either through the worship, through the music, through what I'm about to say, or through the fellowship afterwards. Let us have a greater understanding of you tonight. Let's pray these things in your name. Amen. And so, as I said, I'm excited. We're going to be talking a little bit further about this year and how we're going to approach this year and how we're going to think about it. But I want to ask a question first. Now, some of you might have been asked this question quite recently, and other ones might not have had it for a fair few years. Remember when you were younger and you used to get asked, what would you want to do when you grow up? And for some of you guys, you still get that asked now. What do you want to do when you grow up? I think it finishes once you finish year 12 because you are supposed to be an adult at that time. I'm hitting 40 and I'm not really an adult yet, so I'm happy about that. I'm comfortable with that. But we used to get that question when we're growing up. And I remember the first thing I wanted to be when I was growing up was about 6 or 7. I went to a circus. I might have told this story before, but I went to a circus. And I loved it. I enjoyed it so much that I went home and I wanted to be a clown. And I used to practice. I had a brother who was about 3 years younger than me, so he was about 3 or 4, and I used to put my mother's makeup on him to dress him up as a clown, not on me, but that was okay. We had pet cats. And I remember one time taking one of the cats up to the roof and putting a bowl of water on the bottom of it and dropping the cat. And it landed in the water, but the cat wasn't too happy about that. It ran away. And so when I was younger, I wanted to become a clown. And I wanted to do that sort of stuff. I loved it. And I still got that passion today. I still like clowning. I still like doing magic tricks. I still like doing balloon animals. So that's lasted that whole time. And so I want to ask that question to you. When you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up? And is that still a question that you ask yourselves? Now, I want to ask a question as well. Like back in last year at the Olympics, there was a cool story of a guy called Ryan Murphy. And I've got a picture of him. He was an Olympic backstroker. I'm not too sure that's the word, but I'm saying it now. He competed in the Olympic backstroke. And he won the gold medal in the 100 metres and also in the 200 metres. The interesting thing about this story is that they are digging up his past, and he wrote himself a booklet when he was 8 years old. And this is what it said in the booklet. It says, "I hope my swimming life continues and I become an Olympian when I grow up. I hope I will break world records. I want to be the best swimmer in the world." The end. So he drew that and he drew a picture with him, a gold medal. It's not a pool, it's a gold medal. I don't know how big it's a big medal. They don't give things like that at the Olympics, but that's what he did. And so when he was 8 years old, he drew this letter, probably in English class, saying, "I want to be an Olympian." And 21 was when he actually became an Olympian and won a gold medal in that. So he continued that dream from when he was young. He persevered. He kept the eye on the prize until he was that young, or until he was that old. Now, I'll have that picture up there because it's a good bit of motivation. I'm not going to be an Olympian, but I like watching it anyway. But we don't get asked that question nowadays, what do we want to be when we're older? But we still get asked that question, kind of. in a different way. Who in the last month or 2 months have been asked, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? It's the same sort of question, but you can't give stupid answers there. I can't say, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time, an astronaut? It doesn't really fit. But we still get asked, it's almost like, what do you want to do in the future? How do you see yourself next year, the next 5 years? What's the plan for your life? And so whether you're still getting asked what you want to be when you grow up, or the question has changed to where do you see yourself in 5 years, it's a good question to ask ourselves. Where do we see ourselves? What do we want to improve on? What do we want to be in our lives? See, as I said, we're already in February, and we've called this one our launch. And I want to look at tonight how we approach this year, but it's also a good time to ask these questions of ourselves and to ask, where do I see myself? Or what do I want to improve on for the year? Or am I still on the right track? So it's February now, and this year's just flown by already. Like I remember this yesterday, I was opening Christmas presents up, and we're already second weekend in February. We're a 12th of the way through the year, and before we know it, we're going to hit June, we're going to hit April's before June. There we go. We're going to hit August, we're going to hit October, we're going to hit November, December. It's going to be the end of the year before we know it. And if we don't check up on ourselves every now and again, the year just flies past. The year just gets ahead of us. And we sit back, like I've done quite recently, and think, oh, a month's gone. What have I done in this last year, month? And so I want to ask a question about that now. And I want to ask, pose a question as well, what makes us determined to achieve those goals that we set? And what makes it helps us to look at those and think, okay, how am I going to get to there? Because I know all of us at one stage have thought, I want to do this year. I want to do that. I want to get better at this. I want to see myself getting a job. I want to work better. I want to get closer to God. But how do we do it? And I think we're going to touch on tonight some advice Paul gives us in the Bible there. And this is one of my favourite passages. And he was talking to the people of Philippi and his letter to the Philippians. And so it's chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And I've got it there, but you can follow it there as well. It says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's one of these verses that we look at every now and again, that we pick up, and some people will know, oh, we've got to strive forward towards the prize. Oh, we read it every now and again, it stays in our head. And for me, it does as well. But we need to revisit it every now and again and see how it applies to our life and see where it applies to our life right now. So for those who you remember who Paul was, Paul used to be Saul. He used to be a ruler of the time persecuting Christians. He was one of the bad guys. When Christians stood up and praised God, he said, no, you can't do that here. We're going to kill you off. And it's a dramatic conversion. It's a great story. Get back into it if you haven't read it in a while. And so all of a sudden, he becomes this great Christian and turns his life around from being one of those people that persecutes Christians to one of those ones who wants to just share the love of God with everyone. And when he writes his letter to the Philippians, it's attributed to one of his times when he's in prison. And in verses 1 to 7, it says, these chains bound me, but I'm writing this to you. And so he's in home prison at the stage. And so not only has he gone around from being persecuting Christians to telling everyone about Christianity, but now he's in prison for it as well. That's a real big 360. So he's turned around and sharing people about God and writing all these letters to all these different countries and visiting them, but now he's stuck in prison because of it. But he was still able to send these letters off. See, I want to focus on some of this verse in particular and a couple of things in here. Now, we did a series on Philippians about 4 or 5 years ago. It was a great series. And we touched on all the history of it. And so I think it's still online. So if you want to go listen back to it, you can do. But at the moment, I just want to focus on this sort of stuff. And what was the culture at the time regarding it? So some people at the time of Paul, especially what was happening here, there was a culture at the time that people thought that when you became a Christian and did a few things right, you were perfect. You didn't have to do anything else. And they were saying this about Paul and saying, you know, look how much he suffered. He's a top Christian. Like, he doesn't have to do anything else. And the same way, it was a culture of themselves thinking themselves as being perfect as well. And sometimes we can lay and be a bit complacent and think that we don't have to do much else as well. But here he addresses it in verses 12. He says, twice, he says, I would not only retain this, but I press forward to take what has Christ has given me. And it's funny, in the original Greek, this is the King James Version, not as though I had already attained it, either were already perfect. And the Greek word, tetelemai, was that. It meant perfection. And so he addresses it here. He says, not that I'm perfect, like some of you guys say I am, but I have to keep on striving. And if I have to keep on striving, you guys have to keep on striving as well. We're not perfect. And so he addresses the culture at the day to say, hey, we got work to do. Regardless of where we are in our life, regardless of what we want to become or what we want to do, whether it's get closer to God or start a missionary or something like that, we've got more to do. Don't be complacent with where you are. And so he is saying we are far from perfect. We need work. We need to press on towards it. And then he says, what do I need to press on towards? And the verse just before it, in verse 10, he says, gives an idea of what he was pressing on towards and what he wanted to do, what he wanted to become. He said, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So if people were unclear about why he wasn't perfect and what he wanted to achieve, you can just flip back a few verses and say, Paul wanted to become more like Christ. He sees that he's not like Christ yet. He's a bit of a way on there, but he sees a long way to go. And so he states what he wants to do, becoming like him. See, Paul is pursuing Christ. I saw this story in here as well. I want to show this. What's the purpose of a pen? So have a look at this pen. This is the third richest pen of all time now. At the time, it sold for $265,000. It had lots of, silver, coated in silver, rubies and diamonds in there. And it was equipped to write. The problem is with a pen is that it held hardly any ink. And it was really hard to put more ink into the pen. So it's more unlikely it's ornamental. It does not fulfill its original purpose. It looks good. It probably thinks it's good. Well, it doesn't think. A pen doesn't think. But if we had it, it'd be good to have it. But it's just ornamental. It's not designed to write. If you were going to write a letter to someone, if you were going to do some work or whatever, that sort of thing, you wouldn't pick that one up. You'd go to the Office Works and pick up a 50-cent pen or a 25-cent pen and write it down. Because it worked, you could rely on that sort of thing. See, just like the pen, sometimes we get caught up and not do what we're designed to do and not really fulfill our purpose. Paul said the purpose was to serve Christ and be like Christ. Paul proclaimed that, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, becoming like him in his death and somehow attain resurrection from the dead. Paul said that's his purpose. He doesn't want to sit there and just not do anything and be an ornament. And people say, hey, you're perfect. He actually wants to have a purpose to his life. He wants to be like those pens at Officeworks where you draw forever and ever. Simply put, Paul's reason for living was to be more like Jesus. And that was his goal that continued with him to the end. So I want to ask a question, and I've got some more stuff to say, but in the middle here, if you haven't got a goal for your life, or you haven't got a goal for this year, or if you're thinking about, oh, I'm not too sure what I'm going to do with my life, that's okay. That's all right. You can still have goals. You can still have more aims or what you want to be like. And this one here, to be more like God, to be like Jesus, is a perfect way to start. And in fact, I want to ask that to if you have got a goal and you're on towards it and you're progressing really well, see where that fits into your goal. See where, am I being more like Christ in this goal? If I want to become a rocket scientist, or am I fulfilling what Christ wants me to be, and how am I sharing Christ in this? Because that's what Paul's attitude was. See, we are not complete. Think of your own life and think about my life. I know that I'm not complete. I know that myself, I've got a long way to go in my relationship with God. And I would love to be more like God. I'd love to be more like Jesus. Get closer to him, because when I feel alive is when I'm the closest with him. Regardless of what's happening around me, whether I'm having a bad patch or it's great, that feeling of being loved and surrounded by God is just great. And see, Paul recognizes that this can be hard as well. Like anything in life, it's not easy. In the verse as well, he states, forget what is behind us. That's hard to do. Forget what's behind us. Forget what's happened last year. Forget what we've done or what we've been through or what is around us. See, we've all been guilty of focusing on things we've done previously. Whether it's been some area of sin, or whether it's been a bad year that we've had, or whether we've done something wrong, or we didn't take an opportunity which we should have. We've all been guilty of thinking too much about it. And if you're anything like me, which I know some people are, we overthink things way too much. We spend more time worrying about the things that we should have done or couldn't have done or anything like that than we do a thing about how we're going to be in the future. And so Paul addresses it here. He says, forget about the past, strive towards the future. See, those things in the past can cripple us. And if we stay too much in that hole, it just gets black around us. So we've talked about that previously as well, dealing with stuff in your past. But here we are. God is leading you to say, forget about that. Put your eyes on me. Focus on me. Forgetting what is behind us. It's a hard thing to do. You're going to strain forward, but it can be done. Think what Paul was writing about. And think of the person of Paul. He was persecuted by the church. And he persecuted the church. So think about Paul, him trying to be someone who strives toward God if he was held up by his previous thoughts. He would have thought, no, I can't do that. I killed all the Christians before. They're not going to like me. He would have had all these thoughts as well. Thinking of all the bad things that he would have done, but Paul has used these verses and used his relationship with God to strive forward. So in other words, he's saying, God, I commit to you. I seek your forgiveness for all that I've done, but I look forward to what lies ahead. And right now, I'm going to live the best I can because you are with me. Paul uses the illustration of a race. Now, have you ever done it yourself where you're walking somewhere and you look behind you and you keep on walking? And I've done it before. I did it the other day. I was walking behind and I ran into a wall. And I thought the wall was coming up, but I thought I had enough distance. And I was walking behind and all of a sudden I hit it. And then people were around me. I was at school, in front of students. And they had a laugh. I had a laugh too. But you can't do it. You can't, if you try and concentrate what's behind ahead of you, you can't look behind you. And if you do, some people can. Some people do it, but then they like took Beth swimming lessons the other day for backstroke, and so they taught her to go look up there and look behind. But she's not going straight. She's going all over the place. So when we look forward, we've got a better direction of where we're going. If we try and look behind us, we either hit something, fall over, stumble, or get off track. But as I said before, so many of us get caught in a trap of looking behind us. See, Paul admits himself that it's going to be a strain. He says, straying towards the prize. He doesn't say cruising towards. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to get up there, it's easy. He says, straining towards the prize. So he admits it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to forget what's behind us. It's going to be hard to live the way that we want to live. And to take the image that would have been used in a day a step further and put it back in historical times. We've seen the movie Gladiator, where they have all the arenas around them, and then the Olympic Coliseum, where the king used to, or the ruler used to sit up above it, and the race happened before it, underneath it there. And so the image that he has, or he brings to everyone, is that the race is happening underneath, and the king's sitting up and watching it, or the ruler is watching it. And so he's running the race, looking up to God. And so he's visioning here, looking up to the king, and the king's encouraging him on. So that image would have come to their day. It wasn't like an Olympic race where they were set up and they run their race and everyone's at the same line and then they step on the podium and the king goes like that. No, they were running the race. And when they run the race, they could see the dignitaries in a great big tent or dignitary, and they could see that the king or the ruler was looking down on them. So Paul finishes off with that analogy. And he says, God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal for the prize, which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So here's that image as well, that Christ Jesus is above, the king, the ruler, is looking above him, helping him on, calling him on to do that. So as I said, I get back to the goals and thoughts in your life. What made Ryan Murphy want from a very young age to persevere through the hard times to get that gold medal? What makes you persevere to get your goals? What makes you persevere to become more like God or Jesus in there? This little verse I picked up at the start of the year. And I wanted to use it with me for the rest of the year and to run forward with that. To think, I'm going to forget what's behind and strain forward. And so now I can see, it's okay, now I'm going to pursue a life in Christ or this year in Christ by forgetting what's behind me and straining forward. I challenge you guys to see where that can fit in your lives right now. Whether it fits into your predestined goals, which you already have, or you need to add it into your current life where it's at now. And as I said, like, I'm excited about the year. I'm excited about what God's going to happen in here. I'm excited about what God's going to happen in your guys' life, in your life. I'm excited because I know God's got great plans for all of us. However young, however old, whatever situation in life we are at, God has got a great plan for us. But the first step in that race is pursuing a life in Him and straining for that prize. Let us close in prayer. Hey God, we just want to thank you for your life and sacrifice for us and your example. Thank you for the words of the Bible, and in particular tonight, the words of Paul. When he was in prison and being persecuted for you, he still realized he had a long way to go. That he wanted to be more like you. Lord, let us have that vision. And when things are tough around us, that we don't sit and dwell in them or look behind us to see what has happened in the past, that we can focus on you and strain towards you. We just pray these things in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen.